Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 8th, 2024. It's the second Tuesday of the month, and I'm happy to have C.A. Brooks with me for our October 2024 Meeting of the Minds. You know, we always have a good talk. We just do. And you are invited to be a part of it. So please join us in the chat room if you can. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat room. We may or may not have time for readings today because we really do like to talk. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the conversation goes. But if you would like a reading from either of us, you can find us both on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. And if you don't see me or if I'm on another call, if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request, and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. Saturday is 1-2 day, our favorite day of the month. Hard to believe it's 1-2 day again. Boy, these months are zipping by. And that's the day when we have random prices, random reduced rates on calls and chats, and they change all through the day. All advisors have different rates, and they all change throughout the day. There are also special low prices on time-based sessions, email-based services, and other services. So I'll be available all day, about 10:30 a.m. Pacific, into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. And 1-2 day just has a good energy, and it's a great time to come by and check us out if you never have before. And I will also have my 1-2 day replenish 15-minute time-based session at a very special rate for the day. So we do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week, typically Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday are pretty much every week. And then, of course, astrological events and 1-2 day. We always celebrate with lower prices. So if you want to be notified of those, go to 12radio.com and not 12radio, 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. Sorry, I'm like all over the place. I apologize. Anyway. Welcome back. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, so we'll see how it goes. We're going to keep going. As I said, if you heard, C.A. Brooks is my guest today for our October Meeting of the Minds. And if you don't know C.A., if you're just listening for the first time or listening, whatever you do, C.A. Brooks is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things, Tarot. She's just a lot, feng shui, just a lot of, she's multifaceted. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Cousins' weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment, live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. She also has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And I really look forward to our once-a-month chats. We always have good discussions. And I'm going to just have CA join me in just a few minutes after I set up the starting point of our discussion. What I want to talk about is spiritual support. And we've talked about that often, I think, when CA has been on the show. But, you know, it's really, really important to notice and share positive experiences. I really believe that. Because number one, noticing, because they lift us up, they inspire us, and I think it's important to share them so that others can be lifted up too. Because the more you notice good things, the more good things happen. That's it, like attracts like. So I have a story to tell about my little Bichon Gracie, who is just a wild ass. I mean, she just is. She's almost 10 years old. She'll be 10 in January. And this year, for the first time, we've had bunnies in our backyard. And she's obsessed with them. I mean, she's just obsessed with them. I don't know what she'd do if she ever caught one. I'd probably lick its nose, because that's what she does with other dogs, you know, and she would do that with a cat if a cat would let her. But she just is is nuts. So, you know, when I would let her out, she just bolt through the yard and she'll run. I have a kind of a half fence, so to speak, that hides a little tin shed at the back of the yard. And it didn't look great. So we just put up this little facade fence. She goes blasting back there, and there are bushes back there, and, you know, a metal shed and other things. And so earlier in the summer, I would notice that she'd have cuts on her head or on her back, cuts and scrapes, because she just throws herself, you know, into whatever. If that bunny goes in under a bush, she goes with it. So she's, you know, just come, she's like a little kamikaze. She just blasts into whatever, trying to catch a rabbit. So anyway, probably about a month ago, I started taking her out to go potty on her leash. And that took care of the cuts and scrapes. I mean, that just took care of it. And she's fine. You know, she's fine. We go on good walks every morning. So it's not like she's being deprived, even though she really loves to roam the yard. But she's, you know, she's satisfied with our morning walks and just going out to do her business and coming back in the house. So I thought we were good. I thought, you know, problem solved. Until last Thursday, when I saw just this little bit of blood on her tail, and I couldn't imagine where she got it, because again, every time she was outside, I was with her, watching her. So it could have been a spider bite. It could have been maybe a thorn that she picked up when we were out on our walk. Who knows? You know, nobody knows. But that was last Thursday. So I cleaned it up and I kept cleaning it, but it kept getting worse because she wouldn't leave it alone. And it got to the point where she had pulled a whole lot of hair, fur, out of her tail. And I called on Saturday, made an appointment with the vet for yesterday morning, and took her in. I had to take her in for a drop-off because they're busy. So I made the appointment for 7:45. And she was just in for her comprehensive exam. We have Banfield, which is like, you know, you pay a monthly fee, and then she's covered for a lot of stuff that would be very expensive. And one of the things that she's covered for are comprehensive exams, where they just check everything. She gets her shots, and it's a good deal. And she's had it ever since I got her. But she was just really, it was 2-3 weeks ago that she was there. And that drop-off appointment was at 7:15. So I thought, you know, 7:15 in the morning, 2 weeks ago, it would be a breeze to get her there and get back home very quickly, because the office is less than 15 minutes away. But it happens to be on a very busy thoroughfare, Parker Road, if anyone is from Colorado and knows what that is. It's a thoroughfare from like Aurora into Southeast Denver. And so it's a big street and it gets busy, but I mean, traffic that day, we left at 7 a.m. and it was incredible. I mean, it was just, there was so much, where'd all these people come from? It was ridiculous. And it was even worse trying to get home from there. So I made this appointment a little later, you know, this time at 7:45, leaving at 7:15, or not 7:15, but 7:30. And this time, it was incredible because there was no traffic. I mean, like, noticeably no traffic at 7:30 in the morning, which is rush hour. And it was just a quick drive over and a quick drive back. Well, the night before, and again that morning, because I was remembering the 7:15 appointment, I set the energetic space for an easy drive. And I also set the space for the appointment so that Grace's tail issue, whatever it was, could be seen and solved. So when she was there, while she was there, when I took her in, it's a drop-off, but I met with a vet tech who was just a doll. She was wonderful, very informative, very nice, very easy to talk to. They take all the information and kind of put her information in the computer, and then the veterinarian took care of her. But anyway, excuse me, They shaved her tail a little bit and cleaned it up, but didn't find anything. Like, there was nothing in it. There wasn't like a huge cut. And they sent her home with a satellite collar, which is a thrill a minute. And Jay's going to post a picture of that in the chat room. Antibiotics and some other medications, so for pain, and so that she could get over this and not reach it. And because I know it's like it stings, you know, she'll try and walk and she just gets like, she just jumps, you know, and then wants to chew her tail because I'm sure it's healing, but it stings and it's uncomfortable. Well, the vet called me to tell me what they'd done, what I just told you, and what they were going to do with the treatment and the meds. And she also mentioned that Grace had a lump on her paw. Well, Grace has had that lump on her paw for probably 6 years. And it almost looked like one of her pads, but on the top of her paw. And I kind of had an agreement with the veterinarians that had seen her that, you know, we'll just keep an eye on it. And if it looks like it changes or gets bigger or whatever, then we'll act. Well, this was a new veterinarian, lovely, lovely person, lovely lady. And she suggested that they take a sample to be sure that there were no cancer cells in it, even though it doesn't bother her. She doesn't even know it's there, pays no attention to it, never has. And she said, but really, you know, the only way to know, I would suggest that we do this. And finally I said, yeah, let's just do it. And it's, you know, it's an added expense. But really I thought about it and it just felt right. It just felt like the time to do it. One less thing to think about. And she is a very, very healthy girl. In fact, when I took her, not for her comprehensive, but for her dental, the woman who checked her out said she was the oldest girl in here. She's almost 10, and she had the best blood of any of the other dogs, and they were all younger. So she's in good shape. She's in good shape. So I thought, let's just put this thing to bed and not have to think about it anymore with the thing on her paw. So I got there to pick her up about an hour later, expecting the price that the vet told me, including the testing, the lump on her paw, and it wasn't on the bill. And the woman at the reception desk said, no, it's not on here. Let me go back and check. And she comes back out. She goes, no, this is the right charge. And the vet will be out to talk to you. So the veterinarian comes out and she said, it was just like a big sebaceous cyst. And they were able to just take the whole thing out. She said it didn't behave like something that I was trying to put a needle in and get cells out of. It was strange. And so she looked at it further, was able to just take the whole thing out. And the meds and ointment for her tail would take care of her paw too. So, you know, two birds with one stone. So, you know, that's a long, drawn-out story. But the light traffic, the easy cleanup for her tail, and the paw situation, all fixed, was it. This is going to sound really stupid, but it just felt kind of magical, you know, like this is so amazing. You know, I just knew that I was being taken care of from the time I left the door until the time we got back. And, you know, everything went so well, even in an uncomfortable situation. And it was so obvious that we were being helped all the way through. And it's anyone who has pets or a baby, you know, anything that can't talk to you and tell you what hurts or that they're uncomfortable, it's difficult. You know, it's difficult because you don't know what to do and it's scary. It's not just difficult, but it's really scary. And she's doing okay. I think the meds are really making her lethargic, which is fine. And the collar, of course, is not fun, but her tail does look better today. And it still stings a bit, judging from her behavior. And she doesn't walk too far, but she's walking further today and faster than she was yesterday afternoon or even earlier this morning. But I think it's because her paw hurts a little bit. But Also, she runs into walls with the cone on her head. But I take it off when she eats and at night because she sleeps with me in my bed. And last night she was uncomfortable and tossing and turning. So I took that thing off. And when she's in bed, she's in bed. She doesn't go anywhere else. So we'll get through this. And I think she'll get better and better. She doesn't like going outside. So I don't know. I'm just watching her like a hawk, which doesn't help. You know, I need to detach here. But really, yesterday was just a lesson, not only in being supported, but it was a reminder to expect to be supported rather than, you know, what I was thinking first off was like, oh my gosh, that traffic was horrible. Oh, you know, and here, turn it over, set the space for an easy time. And it was an easy time. So, and, you know, and I have to say, with all that going on and being just kind of a crazy day, another example of me being supported is the fact that CA's on the show today. So I have someone else to talk to that that we can bounce things off of. And again, we also always have a great talk. So on that note, welcome CA. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for asking me, Kelly. It's always fun to hear what's going on. I wanted to say out of your mind like Mo, but that's it. Like I said, I really depend on listening to you, and I love hearing like even your little messages that you send out throughout the week, just like, what is she reading now? You know, what is she into now? Because it's always an inspiration to me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that.
Well, it is. And, you know, Mo and I talked about, I don't know if you happened to catch Mo's article in the Power Peak this week, but it was just so moving because he was talking about situations where people really came together to support other people in very unexpected ways. You know, so sort of like what you're talking about, that support. And the main story he told was about a campground in North Carolina that was destroyed by the hurricane. And, you know, I don't know all the ifs, ands, and buts, but the point is it was a beautiful campground that, you know, was owned by a couple and it was destroyed. But believe it or not, all of a sudden reservations started coming in. And they're like, well, there's no campground. We don't even know what we're going to do here. And it turns out, I think they ended up with maybe 100 or more reservations because it was word of mouth. People started hearing the story, but what people were saying is, we want to support you in rebuilding. We know how beautiful this was. We want to come back. So we're making our reservations, you know, having faith that this is, you know, we're paying it forward in some ways, you know, we have faith in this. And it was just such an incredibly moving story that Mo ended up writing his article on it. And then he told a few more. And it was always about people who, you know, it was shared interests. We're in this together. And without you, this couldn't be possible. And so, you know, but the other thing, and I told him this, you know, it was very much, see how good we are, you know, like he even said, you know, we're good people at heart, or, you know, we do wonderful things. But then he said, which to me was even a more important statement, is we want to be good. This is what we want to be.
Yeah. Wow.
And the reason I say that is because, let's face it, you know, you turn on the news or anywhere you look, you're going to see some crap lately, you know, and the truth is that's always true, people. I mean, I honestly believe, you know, we didn't hear about it, you know, now that we're on Facebook and we're on all these social media, you hear everything in the world and you didn't. In a previous time, you didn't even have a cell phone. So all that information didn't travel quite that quickly. But just that point that bad stuff happens. I mean, and when we act in selfish ways, that it's just about me, it's what I need, we tend to draw those experiences and that's what we see. But we want to be better. We want to aspire to something different. And so Mo had all these, you know, examples he had pulled of people who just did these extraordinary things. And yet I would say not extraordinary in terms of the scope, but extraordinary because it was like saying, I'm with you in this. So I'm going to make a reservation, or I'm going to do this small thing because we're in this together. And it ends up being an extraordinary story. And in many ways, your story is the same thing, you know, of like people coming together and, you know, even the vet going, oh, I was able to take care of this really easily. I didn't even need to charge you for it.
Yeah, she didn't.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're in this together. And she could have easily gone the other direction, said, hey, bonus for me. I get this extra money today. You know, I mean, it's like, where's our intention? And that we can choose to identify with what, you know, it, I think it originally was said by a speech in Lincoln, pull to our better angels.
Yeah.
And we want that. That's a thing. We truly do aspire to that. It doesn't make us feel good to always be in this, you know, eat, you know, dog eat dog world, whatever. It, you know, that doesn't make us feel good. You know, it's, and so if we only under, I mean, that's the other thing that we so don't understand is when you win, I win.
Right.
And when you lose, the truth is I lose.
Right.
I'm not winning. It may look at like it initially, like the vet gets paid and I had to pay the money, but it's like when people lose, we all lose. And when people win or the world wins, what, however you want to say it, we all win. And somehow, if we could kind of drill that into our little minds, you know, that we're all in this together and you can't hurt it. It's kind of like believing you can smash your toe with a hammer and go, well, that's not me. You know, that's not part of me. And no, that's just not true. When something is suffering, we're all suffering. On some level, we're all suffering.
Right, right. Well, because we're all the same thing.
Yes. I
mean, we're all,
yes.
We really are the same being, the same life.
Mm-hmm.
And positive things, I mean, just think about it. Just anything positive is expansive.
Yes.
It just is. And the other is not. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just not, and it feels terrible. So yeah, just, you know, focusing on good things attracts more good things because it makes you aware of more good things. You know, it's mm-hmm. all personal. It's all your awareness. It's all what you do with it. It's just an incredible, and we can do it every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is something we have control over, rather than thinking that we're controlled by all the bad things in the world, you know, that it's like, nah, you can say no. You can say no to that.
Yeah. You know, which brings me up to the other thing that you're always talking about, which is boundaries. Mm-hmm. And just this idea, because I mean, I can even imagine there are people out there listening going, oh, yeah, you know, be Miss Nice, or, you know, always be the good guy, the nice person. And, you know, it's sometimes it's not that easy to figure out what the really kind thing is to do. And you know, here again, I'm kind of referring to sometimes when we enable people in bad behaviors, we think we're being kind when in essence, we're not at all. You know, it's really not ultimately kind. And having a boundary and there again, representing to them, if I can stand up for something, so can you. You know, if I, you know, if I can have a boundary, so can you. Showing people, demonstrating that kind of thing is actually maybe very kind. And, but there again, you know, not leaving people in limbo. You know, life can be obviously very challenging, very difficult.
Sure.
But we can, in any moment, sort of say, you know what? I do want to be my better angel. I do want to aspire to better. And in this moment, I'm not sure exactly what the right thing is to say. I'm not sure exactly what I should do. But the very thing of opening yourself up and going, okay, spirit, or however you want to say it, I'm not sure, and I'm your vehicle.
I don't know.
I'm here. Yeah, I don't know. So
I don't know. Three magic words for action on the spirit side.
I don't know. So, right. I don't know. So I'm going to trust this process. I'm just going to trust this process, and I'm going to take it off my shoulders of always having to know what the kind thing is to do, because I don't think it is that simple. I mean, I really... And maybe it's just where I am at in my life. You know, I've had some challenges and knowing what the kind thing to do is next to impossible when I'm trying to do it myself and trying to figure out everybody's issues or everybody's, their needs, their wants, their desires. I'm trying to figure it all out and I can't. I don't know. That's
No,
it. I don't
exactly.
know.
You don't know. And, you know, therefore I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility to that which does. You know,
Yes.
That's what I do. I mean, constantly, CA, constantly, because I don't know. And when we're trying, we're struggling. And that struggle just makes more struggle and pushing. And, you know, and then you get to the point where you just, you become resentful. Or you can, not always. But I think, you know, aside from, I don't know, which has saved my life for the past year or so. The other thing is like the kind thing, or when you think about things, it's like, well, what would I want? You know, if I were in this situation, what would I want? And then be that, you know, be that for someone else. Maybe it's not saying anything. It's just being there. Being there, and they know that you'll listen, or that you'll, you know, what do you need? A cup of coffee? Can I get you something? You know, just that simple, without having to overdo, just overthinking. Giving someone the permission to be where they are. That's a huge blessing. That's a huge blessing. You're just, you know, whatever you want, whatever I can do, but you have to tell me. I'm not going to assume. Because that just infringes, you know, when we think we know or jump in there so that we feel better by making somebody else feel better.
Right, right. I'm going to make you feel better whether you like it or not.
Because I'm miserable watching you.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know, that comes down to too, you know, in A Course in Miracles, there is this line, and I'm not going to say it correctly, but the first time I read it, I just laughed, because it said, if you think that you can judge, then here, let me tell you, if you know exactly every single thing that led up to this, you know every single condition, and you know every possible outcome, and you know every outcome of each outcome, like you know exactly how everything's going to end up, then yeah, go ahead and judge it, you know? And it's like, oh my God, you know? And so it's like, just let that go. Don't even expect, you know, so it goes back to, I don't know, because you can't possibly know what somebody else's curriculum is.
No.
And we can certainly look at something and go, you know, like even, you know, talking about the dogs, Tucker, he's speeding around and, you know, slipping around and falling or jumping into something because he's not paying attention or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I could go, no, that's not the way to do that, you know, whatever. And whether you're with a child or, you know, that's how they learn. Like, in fact, I've had the opportunity to be around a baby, a great niece this week, which has been, oh my God, so funny.
Oh.
She is a year and a half, and I'll tell you, she surprised me so much, Kelly, because maybe it's just been a while since I've been around a baby that small, but she talks like crazy. And her parents are encouraging her to learn to have several languages. So she knows Spanish and English. You know, she'll say water, aqua, you know, I mean, you know, she wants what she wants, and she's like, she's very, very verbal, especially about what she wants, you know. And so it has just been a trip. But there again, and when I say trip, you know, the way she's going to learn something is she's going to, you know, bump into something, or she's going to fall down, and then she's going to have to push herself back up. She's not going to learn it if I run over and pick her up every time she falls.
Right.
That's how she learns. And by the way, this is an aside, but it is so funny. I have learned this week, Tucker, who loves other dogs, but he is crazy about this little girl.
Oh, good.
Like, he likes children more than he likes other dogs. And so he knows her name, because of course I've said her name enough. And so, in fact, I hate to say it out loud right now, because he'll probably get up and start barking. But I said her name, and I said, we're going to go see her. And it was just like over at my sister's house, you know, like literally 60 seconds away. But I said her name, and he ran to the door. And I said, no, we're going in the car. Let me get your leash. So I get the leash and I put it on. And he whines and whines and whines. You know that? And I go, okay, enough already. We are going. And it's like, he doesn't do that around other dogs.
And make sure you don't forget.
Oh my God. He whined the whole way. Then we get over there and he is just ecstatic.
Oh.
And But it's funny because I left the leash on and she picks up the leash because she actually has three dogs at her house. Oh. And so she picks up the leash and she is just walking all over the house with him following her. And it was so funny. And the fact that he would just adapt right to her, letting her do that, you know, just walking him around the house. And it was just, it was delightful. But once again, I mean, I kind of came into this from the idea that several times I go, ooh, you know, don't do that or don't do that. And it's like, no, that's how babies learn how to do something. So unless she's going to get hurt, you don't stop her. She's going to figure out how to push herself back up, or she's going to figure out how to squeeze between there, or how to, you know, how to drink out of that cup, you know? And, but I automatically found myself going, oop, oop, oop. And it's like, no, just leave her alone. Just leave her alone, Skye, and let her figure it out.
Oh, how cute though, that he was so good with her. Oh, that's neat.
And I almost feel bad because now he's been with her for not quite a week and she'll be here for a few more days. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to kind of be depressed when she leaves.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Because he spent time with her every day. And, like I said, I just see how he just really wants to be with her.
Well, it's so funny because they're about, I mean, she's a little taller, but close to the same size. And I wonder if that has something to do with it, too.
Yes, I think
like,
so.
Like, here's a human being that I can, like, see eye to eye.
Yeah, my size.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. And what's nice is because she's got three dogs, and her dogs are really big, actually. One of them is huge. I can't remember the breed, but it's one of those really, really tall ones. She, of course, isn't afraid of him at all. You know, I mean, she, you know, some babies are kind of afraid of dogs. Well, he's, like, right up there in her face, and she's not. And in fact, she just pushes him away. You know, if he's doing something she doesn't like, she just pushes him away. So that's wonderful too, that I don't have to be afraid that she's going to be afraid. She's not. She's like, okay, come on. Like you said, she just picks up his leash and it's like, come on. You
know? Or that she's going to be rough with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. Too, yeah. She's
because he's
rough.
So little. Yeah. No, that's cool. When Quinn, Maisie, and Bodie were here, all Maisie wanted to do was hold Grace. Mm-hmm. Well, she'd grab her around the middle and pick her up. And Grace was like looking at me like, what the hell? So we kept getting after Maisie. It's like, come on, you sit down here and I'll sit by you and she'll sit with us. Mm-hmm. And that's what we would do. But she just wanted her on her lap. She wanted to hold her. She wanted to carry her around. And she just wasn't, as tall as she is, she wasn't tall enough to do that. Because if you pick Grace up and you put her on your shoulder, you know, I don't know if Tucker's that same way, that's what she likes. Like if you hold it, like you would hold a baby.
Right.
You're supporting her butt with one hand and, and she's up on your shoulder. Boy, she'd stay there for ever if you hold her like that. And Quinn could, but the little ones couldn't. And Bodie at one point wanted to give her a kiss. He came up on the bed and Grace's was on the bed with me early in the morning. And he comes in and she's sitting there and he's talking and she's kind of giving him little air kisses, you know, little licks, but not hitting him. And I said, oh, she's trying to give you a kiss. So he grabbed her face and he's trying to give her a kiss on the lips. And it was hilarious because she's like ducking. Yeah, and I said, if you hold on to her head and kiss her on the top of the head, that'll work. So that's what he did. But I mean, it was just like, she's like, whoa, wait a minute. too close. But it was just there. It was funny. And she, you know, she did great with the kids. She did great. And they were good with her. And she's a good girl. She's a real adaptable girl. And she, you know, would sleep in their bed with them, you know, and stuff like that at night. She'd sneak out and go sleep with them. So good that she's just has that personality.
Oh,
she rolls
nice.
With the punches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. They're so delightful. Well, and this little girl, like I said, she's 18 months. So what she'll do, she'll stand next to Tucker and put her arms around him and try to, you know, she lays her head down on top of him.
Aww.
That's what she does. And he, if she's sitting down, he goes over to her and then lays on his back because he wants her to scratch his stomach. Uh-huh. You know, and it's like, okay. She's like, okay. But yeah, the two of them, she loves him, but he loves her. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do when she goes home?
You have to rent a baby.
Yeah, rent a baby for Tucker. I had no idea that he was so charmed by the little kids. He is. He is.
That would be a good service, rent a baby.
Yeah. That's instead funny. Of a doggy daycare, you need kind of a children puppy daycare.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. She loves it. So she goes, puppy, puppy, puppy. Yeah. It's like, good yeah, work. He's a puppy, I guess, you know.
Cute.
Oh, so. Cute. So in any case, yes, but we learn often by falling down or not doing something quite right, and then we know how to do it better the next time. You know?
That's the only way we learn, CA.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only way we learn, through, you know, problems and experience, and that's the only way we learn. Mm-hmm. Because it's a challenge. It takes a challenge to think beyond something or think around something. You know, we'd be pretty lazy if we never, I mean,
yeah.
It wouldn't be good. It just wouldn't be good. That's not us. We're, you know, we're expansive, powerful life energy. That's what we are. So, yeah. I love the stories, though, that you were talking about, Mo. That's just beautiful.
It was a very good article. And he said one situation had happened in Parker. So you may have heard about it. I think he said it was Parker, where a girls' basketball team took the state championship. And they arranged to make sure that the custodian of the school got one of the championship rings.
Ah.
Because, you know, it was like, well, he's one of our, he doesn't play basketball, but he's one of our partners. We couldn't do it without him, you know, taking care of our gym and taking care of our locker rooms and taking care of everything. So they made sure he got a championship ring.
That's brilliant.
You know, yes, it is brilliant. And I think he said it was a school in Parker. High school in Parker. So I guess you could even look up the girls who took the state championship in girls basketball. But yeah, you know, just, and he had several more stories of, you know, and kids. That was what was nice too, is the campers, I'm sure a lot of those were adults that were making the reservations, but there was another story, you know, of a boys football team, I think, that had done something for, you know, one of the custodians of the property.
Wow.
You know, and just like, wow, you know, that's just such an admirable thing. Once again, to look outside yourself for shared interests and to just recognize that we're all in this as part of a team. In fact, it actually reminds me, this is a negative example. Sorry, guys, we'll come back to the positive. But years ago, I don't remember if it was Obama or whatever, had said something about infrastructure. And so somebody who had a business like a gas station or a business up on a busy freeway exit had this big billboard made and said, I built this all myself. You know, so the implication was, I did this, don't take any credit for it. But the irony of the picture and the reason somebody had posted it was because here he is right off of a highway and all these major roads. So it's sort of like, you built the highway, you built the exit, you built the roads. So you're getting all this business because of what you built. Uh-huh. And it was just, it was one of those ironic things of this person of, I did this all myself, I get all the credit. And has no, I mean, just obviously clueless that he wouldn't have any business at all if he had built the same thing in the middle of, you know.
Nowhere.
The middle of nowhere. It's like, you know, that we're all in this together. You know, our tax dollars pay for all those roads and highways. And, you know, we're all doing this together. And yes, you chose a good location. But you're taking advantage every single moment of what we're all doing together. Uh-huh. Infrastructure is not something that only one person is responsible for or does no good for the rest of us. Of course it does, you know?
Yeah, Well, it does, because it's so everybody can get around.
Yes, we do. You know, when we live in society, that's it. We live in society and we agree on a few things because it's going to make all of our lives better.
Well, we're interdependent. We're interdependent.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
Are. Yeah. It's the most amazing thing. I couldn't do what I do without you doing what you do.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's, and people don't think that, you know, okay. They think it's me and, you know, and either I'm great and wonderful or everybody's out to get me.
Right. And that's why these stories, you know, of, like I said, especially even high school kids who, you know, let's face it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I was pretty self-absorbed in high school, in my 20s, in my 30s, even into my 40s. Sometimes I look at some of the things and I go, wow, was I self-absorbed? Now, I'm not saying I'm not now, but I do think I'm a different person. I mean, you know, I've learned some hard lessons about, if you don't form those relationships or do some of those things in your 20s and 30s, you know, those grandparents aren't going to be around or, you know, or whatever. You always think there's always going to be time, and there's not. There's really not. And that's what I'm kind of talking about. I loved my grandparents, and I so wish I'd spent more time with them in my 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, I really so wish that. But by the time I recognized how important they were to me, they were gone.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I thought about it. What was I so busy doing? And I mean, I know I went and visited them, but it wasn't the same as when I was a little kid and I spent a whole lot of time with them, you know. So I wasn't like telling them, you know, in my 20s and 30s, oh, here's my new boyfriend or this is my new job or whatever. I wasn't sharing that stuff with them because I saw it as I'm too busy having a life. You know, but it's sort of like, then it's like, you know, but isn't that the way, you know, it's like when they say youth is wasted on the young, you know, it's kind of like, God, if I only knew then what I knew now, you know, I would have treasured those relationships a little bit more. That's all I'm saying. And so, but you know, that's how it is. You know, you're busy with your life. So to hear those stories from high schoolers was very inspirational to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God bless them, you know, just for being conscious, you know, that's consciousness. That's really what that is. And the other is not.
Yeah, it truly is. So yes, aspire.
Exactly.
Aspire to be better. Aspire to, you know, to something outside yourself and be enriched by relationships, be enriched by the people in your life.
Right. Well, and again, just back to the simplicity of noticing the good stuff that goes on, just noticing it, noticing, no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, it's positive, and positive makes more positive for you and for everybody else, because we're all interdependent and one being really when it comes down to it. So, and I'm just, looking at Grace, who's asleep on her little pillow here.
Yep, chapter 2, he's asleep under my desk.
Yep, those little beings that we couldn't live without.
Yep, that's right. Well, and Kelly, we're getting really close to the end of the show. I know
we are.
Had that technical problem and a kind of a slow start, but thank you so much for having me on the show today. And I love connecting with people, and I hope to connect with a number of people I want to listen this week, especially, you know, this weekend when we are celebrating 12 Day.
Yeah, 1-2 Day, absolutely. Good. That sounds good. And thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. anyway, and now my voice is getting wonky again. That's great. But at least we're at the end.
Yes.
At the beginning, that's usually when it backs up. But you've been listening to Empowerment. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to Empowerment. My name is Kelly Whetstone. My special guest today is C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week, everyone. And please stay tuned by Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Again, have a great week. Bye-bye.